Today on Real Life Radio.
God speaks to you with his syntax, his word, his logic, logos, but he uses your voice. But you know it's not you because you don't think like that. That's how you know it's him. It's like, well, where did that come from?
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. What if the greatest battles in life aren't fought with swords and armies, but with the struggles of the heart? What if the most defining moments of leadership come not from triumph, but from pain, betrayal, and humility? How do we handle being misunderstood or wronged, and how do we navigate the deep waters of authority, submission, and forgiveness? In A Tale of Three Kings, Gene Edwards takes us inside the lives of King Saul, King David, and Absalom, illustrating the powerful lessons learned from their brokenness and their failures. Through these kings, we discover that true leadership often comes through humility, suffering, and trusting God's sovereignty, even in the most difficult seasons. This book will challenge you to reflect on your own heart, leadership, and your walk with God. A Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. It's available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, and a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. Now, the Apostle Peter was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church, and he shares with us the meaning of unity with our Christian brothers and sisters. You see, Peter tells us what a Christian marriage should look like, and then he relates that to a relationship with our Christian brothers and sisters and what that's supposed to look like. Hopefully, we're all going in that same direction that Jesus is going, and we need to keep up because he is the one on the move. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that when we power walk with Jesus, as believers, we're all living for the same purpose, and we have that same compassion for each other. Now with his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says we have to renew our minds. So watch, don't raise your hand. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then let me ask you this. If you're a follower of Jesus, do you have razor wire and chains around your mind? I'm only speaking from my experience with God. I cannot relax my mind. I've got to wrap my mind with the Word of God and promises of God and those power verses. Let's say, for example, bring every thought under the captivity of Christ. It's not good for me to go sit alone without my mind being wrapped by God's word. If I sit alone without my mind being wrapped, you know who I'm gonna think about? I'm gonna think about me. And then I'm gonna want the stuff that my old life wants to entertain. Listen, if you relax your mind, you're gonna get in trouble. I'm going to heaven, I'm born again, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but in this world, I've gotta wrap my mind with the word of God, and I'm assuming you do too. You're just looking angelic at me right now like I'm talking Martian at you. But I think I speak for all of us. We've got to wrap our minds with God's word. Let this mind, not the old one, be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Notice that it's past tense. See, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus still have that mind? Well, of course, but here's the deal. He is God, the Word, and the Holy Spirit puts his word, the Lord, God, think about it, Spirit of God dwelling in you. This is a reference to Jesus. When he walked on earth, he employed the word of God to wrap his actions, his thoughts, everything about him. Of course, he was sinless, but he showed us how to walk. And we walked, he walked in the word. We walk in the word. And to do that is to have this logos experience with God's word, the mind under control. And that's a good thing. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, Acts 4:31 says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Wouldn't it be awesome if this coming Wednesday night, we gather together for prayer and there's an 8.0 earthquake? That was my way of getting you to church on Wednesday night. Wouldn't you rather be at church? At least everybody can love on you. They can help get all the stuff off of you, you know. But the Spirit of God shook the place where they prayed. And the Bible says that they're all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. It says in verse 32 that now the multitude of those who believed were, here it is, of one heart and of one mind or one soul. That's God's will for the church. And it's no big push. Friends, listen, it's no big deal. This is easy. If you put the word of God preeminent in your life, then this is a decision you're going to have to make. I can say this. Can I be a little sarcastic? Me and a few others, we're going to see that, by God's grace, we're going to see to it that this happens. Okay, we're going to do this. You want to join us? Then come on. That's exactly what Jesus said when he walked through the toll gate in Galilee and Matthew was sitting there. I'm making this part up. It's not in the Bible. When Jesus comes to the toll gate where Matthew was sitting, you know, you can't go through there without putting tax coin in there. Your toll coin. So I'm sure Jesus paid all of his bills. I see Jesus like this. I see Matthew with his cup, with his bag, because he was working for Rome. And Jesus just walked by, and I think Jesus just went, tink, dropped the coin in there, right? Dropped the coin, gate goes up, and Jesus says, follow me. Just like that. I don't think he even paused. Dun, 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 bum, bum, tink, follow me. And he's, how do we know? The Bible says that Matthew just stood up and he left it all there. He left it all and followed Jesus. He responded to the invitation. You need to remember that in our culture today. The God of the Bible invites you to come and know him. He's not going to strong arm you. He's not going to put a sword to your throat and say, convert or you die. That's insanity. No, Jesus says, come. You want to come? Come follow me. He calls us. He does that with his word. Secondly, look at verse 8. We see pathos, the passion. We're going in the same direction by the word of God. We're going in the same direction. Look, we have the same pathos, passion. The pathos of God. So what does this mean? That God puts in you his heartbeat. Can I put it that way? God puts within you his interest. The things that concern heaven now begin to concern the believer. Look, you never cared before about certain issues of life, and now you do. How'd that happen? You became a follower of Jesus. Isn't that amazing how that happens? There's things that you weren't even interested in before. And now you are. What is that? Pathos, the Greek word is passion. It's a little bit deeper than our English word passion. But it's to have now a driving force in your life. Some of you might be more comfortable with the word enthusiasm. It's a great word. It's rooted in Greek language, Greek and Latin. Enthusiasm is God dwelling in you, creates an action, enthusiasm. In dwelling, theos, God, asm, action. God dwells within you, there's going to be an action. The Bible calls this ethos, or pathos, I should say. What is your passion as a believer? And what's amazing about this, look at verse 8, it says, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Who? The believer. To who? Other believers and beyond. So what does this passion look like and how should it be witnessed in the lives of the believers? So this is a great thing. You and I live in a world, remember 21 centuries ago, they were people were out to kill these believers. You say, well, Jack, days are getting worse. Days are getting harder. Yes, and look, the Bible was written at a much more difficult time than today. Be encouraged, Christian. Here he's telling us that we can look into an unbelieving world and we can exercise compassion toward them. Let's be honest. Now, I don't want to insult any of us exactly, really, but the kind of compassion we're talking about, this is a divine compassion. It's not, you know, when you hear people go, mm-mm. You know, you see a little puppy and it trips and falls and people go, aw. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a divine, God-given pathos. And the characteristic of the pathos in the life of the believer is compassion. What kind of compassion is this? It's the word compassion that means, in fact, listen, it means to have a deep sympathy. It means to be in the skin of another It means to feel what they feel. Have you ever had that kind of compassion? The compassion that we're talking about here in the Bible, I believe only a believer can have it. I'm not saying unbelievers cannot be compassionate. I'm saying that there's a level of compassion that the unbeliever doesn't know of, that only the believer has. And how does the believer have it? Church, are you listening? You're really quiet today. I need some, anybody out there? Okay, here's the deal. If the Holy Spirit's in you, the compassion that you are experiencing toward others, it's not yours. It's His coming out of you. What does it feel? What does it look like? I'll tell you what. It's not comfortable. To have the compassion of God, the pathos of God in the life of the believer who's under the direction of the Word of God, this is how it feels. Have you ever seen somebody? Maybe you're in line at the store. Maybe you're somewhere. Maybe you're at the beach and you see something. It could be that a person's severely handicapped. It could be that you see someone being very, very terribly talked down to, or you know, something. And it's not that others around don't care. They do care, but they care like this. Watch me, watch me. They care like this. Ooh, oh, You with me? The compassion of God is like this. Right? You get right, you go right there. You can't get away. Maybe it's somebody on the streets of downtown Los Angeles and there's just something about that. You may walk by 10 homeless people and you may be thinking, Lord, this is terrible. This is just so sad. And then there's one person and you just look no different than the others that you looked at. But why is it that you see that one person and they, without speaking to you and without even looking at you, you're stopped dead in your tracks and you've got to do something. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know it's not you. It's the Spirit of God and you've got to act. You have to move on it. That's the word for compassion here. God, the Holy Spirit, takes the life of you, the follower of Jesus, and He inserts His concern under your skin so it hits you. I'm sorry, a couple times I've moved right here with my hand because this is where I feel it. Below my chest and above my belly button, there's this zone that somehow this thing grabs my guts. And I got to do something. If it's give them a drink of water, if it's buy them dinner, if it's walk them down to the store and get them some clothes, you know what I'm talking about? You got to do it. In fact, woe unto us if we don't do it. It's that strong. That's the Spirit of God upon you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And then there's the word love here, Philadelphia, the word love. That's the Greek word philadelphos. It means to have a brotherly love for one another. We're to have compassion for one another and for the world, of course. But when it comes to this word philadelphos or Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, that's the life of the believer. We're to love one another. And what does this brotherly love mean? It's so sweet. It's simply this, that you know the old saying, the military term, the U.S. motto, leave no man behind. We should have that in the church. It means this. Come on, get up. Let's go. Come on. You're coming with us. We're going to tell you about your life, what God wants to do. We're going to point you to God. You scoop them up. You're showing them brotherly love. Now, in our culture today, it's all men for himself, you know? The church is the opposite of that. I was speaking to a politician earlier this week, and she asked, what can we do? She said, what can I do? And one of the things that I said was, the government can get out of our way. The government can just get out of our way. Whose way? The church. Let the government get out of the way of the church and let the church do what Jesus tells it to do. And you'll have the best town. You'll have the best town in the world. Because listen, the church, I'm not saying this church. I'm saying this church and every church in town will begin to adopt the problems of the church. You want your life to mean something? Get up and go do what Jesus would do if he was here. You'll really have a great time. You'll be living out his purpose, his pathos. And the the next word is a hard word. Look at it in your Bible. Anybody have the King James Version, the old King James right here? Anybody? Is it pity? Does it say pity? New King James says tender, be tenderhearted. What's the word? Be pitiful. We don't see, that's old English. That's an awesome word, but we're not living in 1610 anymore. And you think of pitiful. Well, that's pitiful. You know, when you see like a scroungy dog, so oh, that's pitiful. That's not what the word means. Have you seen that? You know, this book, Wonky Donkey. You guys know? Raise your hand if you know about the Wonky Donkey book. It's an awesome book. We just bought a couple of them. They were out of print. So many people were buying them around the world. You couldn't buy them. So we got a couple of them. And you know, this book starts out with this donkey, and it's got one leg. Oh, I'm sorry, it's missing a leg. So it has three legs. He's missing a leg. That would be pitiful. He's missing a leg. He's a three-legged donkey. Okay, he's got one eye. This donkey is a wreck. It's a very cute story, though, but the donkey's a wreck. And then you think, well, that's when I think of the word pitiful. That's pitiful. Yeah, but the word, listen, the word here in Old King James, the better word is found in the New King James, and it's tenderhearted. And this is tough for us in the 21st century. The Bible commands us. It's not an option. The Christian church, the Christian individual, the follower of Christ should be known for being tenderhearted. Excuse me, I'm just talking to the men right now in the church. That should come from us first, men. Men should be the leader in showing tenderheartedness. And if you have any doubts about that, let me remind you. Let me remind you that Peter's the one saying it. Peter the man, Peter the rock. Of course, the Holy Spirit's speaking it through Peter, but I love the fact that the Spirit of God's using Peter. We're all to be tenderhearted. And the word tenderhearted means to be soft of heart, to be kind-hearted. Listen to this. The word means to have a heart that can be stamped or embossed is a more accurate word, to be embossed upon, stamped. It's to take a signet and stamp it into the hot wax. And when the wax dries, it's now hard and it bears the exact stamp of that insignia. The Bible says the Christian heart's got to be like this. This is tough for me in life. This world's ugly and you see stuff on TV and, you know, I watch the news and I look at it in light of the Bible and look at world events in light of the Bible and look at culture in light of the Bible. Let me tell you something. God help the people who look at all those things and don't have the Bible, because your heart will become so calloused and bitter and angry and you'll build a wall of safety around you, right? Because the world's crazy. The Bible turns to us in the 21st century and says, you need to get your heart softened up. I can't do it. You can't either. It's a divine work of God. We have to say, Lord, I need you to soften my heart. You know? You look at me, you guys are just like, oh, I'm going to pray for you, Pastor. Friday was in Huntington Beach and trying to come home on the 241. I think it took 3 hours. I'm not sure. It's insane. Whatever it took, it was too long. So you know they got the new thing. If you're gonna go east, you get in the two right lanes, and if you're gonna go west, you get in the two left lanes. That's the law. So I'm obeying the law, and I'm sitting there. And then you know what? Then I look in the mirror. And I see people. They're supposed to be going west. And they're like this. And they're going. And they try to get in front of you. Right? So I'm thinking, you know, I have been waiting here a long time. So I just got like right up in the bumper of the person in front of me. So this person is just kind of like, right? And they're looking, they're making me think that they can't see me, which is impossible. It's impossible. You're trying to get into my space. You see me. But I have determined I am not going to let them in because it's a free country. And so it's like, and then now what do? I'm thinking, okay, now I can tell they're looking at me. I'm looking away. Because if I can't see them. So this is going on. I know that's never happened in your life, but it's going on like this. And this is a big deal. It's like, wow, this is high stakes, man. This is. And then I just, inside the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't hear, you understand, he doesn't say, Jack, this is the Holy Spirit. You don't hear the voice. God speaks to you with his syntax, his word, his logic, logos, but he uses your voice. But you know it's not you because you don't think like that. That's how you know it's him. It's like, well, where did that come from? So it was this. Really? Really what? Lord, I pay my taxes. This is my road. Really, this is something that you're gonna just make a statement here on this. And it's like, oh, you know, and then the killer is this. And I encourage all of you to do this. I have the sticker of the cross on the back of my truck. And it's like, the Lord just, Jack, there's a cross on the back of your window. Okay, Lord. So you let him in, right? Let him in. I was not tenderhearted. That's not tenderhearted. Tenderhearted is. I know. You never get home, but you've been tenderhearted. And you know, there's that momentary battle with the creator of the universe for a second, and then you lose that battle. You lose it. You willingly lose it. And it's a good thing. You have to make that decision to be tenderhearted.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. You know, by the way, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, we heard from Michael, sent us a listener letter. Michael recently gave his life to Christ. So let me read it to you. Dear Pastor Jack, I recently gave my life to Jesus. Not too soon afterwards, I was browsing YouTube and saw a video called Jack Hibbs on Mental Health. In this video, you mentioned Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Now, I opened my Bible, and the verses literally matched almost everything I had just prayed for. He says, I cried with joy. Isn't that great? Realizing that God was with me. I got chills just reading that myself. He says, thank you, Pastor Jack, for doing God's work. Michael. Now, we don't encourage what we call Bible roulette, right? But the chances of that happening naturally are astoundingly low. Hmm. Does God work through that sort of thing?
Well, I mean, first of all, we should never lean upon Bible roulette. And for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, that is like, oh God, I need you to speak to me, so help me. And you plop, you know, you run your fingers through the Bible with your eyes closed and then plant your finger and then look at a verse. You could have landed on a verse that says, and Judas went out and hung himself. So that's probably not a good thing to do. However, there is no doubt about it that there are times when you are in a specific moment and need, and it just so happens, right, which I do not believe just so happens, yeah, that's exactly the verse I needed to hear. Or I've heard this verse. This is now the second time I've heard that verse, or the fifth time I've heard that verse. Yeah. God, what are you saying? What are you doing?
Yeah, it happens in my life. I will read a verse, and the more obscure I'm reading this verse, I'm looking, I'm pondering, Lord, what does that mean in my life? You know, how does this apply? And, you know, part of Bible growth is knowing what questions to ask yourself and to ask God. And then, you know, you get up and you go about your day, and then a moving truck goes down the street and has this same exact Bible verse on it,
yeah,
where it's like, Lord, thank you.
Yeah.
So the beautiful thing is that our God is not a God of coincidence. He's a God of planning. And so what that means for Michael is that God is speaking to him loud and clear.
Hey, you know, if you'd like to drop a note of encouragement to Pastor Jack, that'd be awesome. He'd really love to see what you have to say about him and how his ministry's affected your life. So please do that. Go to the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. That's the tab labeled Connect at jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.